This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is an awesome guest. Andy Pendergast is the EVP of product for Threat Connect. Threat Connect is found online at ThreatConnect.com. We're talking about AI-powered threat intelligence operations and cyber risk quantification. This is going to be an exciting interview. Andy, welcome to the hot seat.
Gary, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. A pleasure to meet you.
So you guys are kind of leading the charge on collecting threat intelligence. And what kind of information is this? It's more than just a typical MITRE ATT&CK framework, which is great. But do we know where threat actors are, if they're nation state? What kind of intel can you gather?
Great question. So, and generally, we categorize intelligence into a few different bins. There's strategic, operational, tactical, and sometimes we call the tactical technical, or they'll overlap. We collect all of them, and we work with multiple partners to do this. So we collect what we call open source intelligence, or information that's out there on the internet, available to anyone, but we filter it in and collate it to what is relevant in terms of informing what a given threat is doing, or what may be happening out in the wild. But we also work with multiple other partners, Flashpoints, Recorded Futures, Mandiants, CrowdStrikes of the world, as many of our customers leverage them as a source of intelligence that we then bring in, normalize, and correlate together to provide a common threat picture for all of our customers based on the intelligence that they may have unique to them as well. One other source that's really important that I think we focus on a lot is for customers that have robust security teams. They're often actually the creators of their most own valuable threat intelligence. So as they're doing security investigations themselves, a side effect of the investigation is that they have artifacts that can be leveraged as threat intelligence themselves to then better their own security next time.
Very cool. Now, let's say I'm being attacked. I've got, this zero-day malware, Volt Typhoon. It's starting to communicate from my Windows computers to all my wireless routers, looking to plant back doors. Do we have to wait for CrowdStrike or others to have, YARA rules or fingerprints to understand that? Or do you just notice on the intranet that there's odd behavior that matches something that you've garnished in threat intel? Do you get involved in that?
Yeah, another great question. So we'll take whatever source reports it first, right? Whether it, CrowdStrike may actually be first. I want to give them credit. They're pretty quick. But certainly if there's information happening out there, either in social media or other, maybe deep in dark web that we have from another partner, we'll actually highlight that up to the user first. And we have a feature called Intel Requirements built into the platform that allows a customer to alert on what's relevant for them. So if they want to alert on any assets, such as if they know they've got these so-called routers or routers that Volt Typhoon may target already standing as a standing query in Threat Connect, we'll bubble that up regardless of the first source that gets it.
Very cool. And do you build automation into the actionable responses? Can we put some playbooks together? And do you have an API, Styx, Taxi? Do you have a way to communicate back to lock things down, quarantine, isolate, patch, things like that?
All of those things, yes. So intelligence is built to inform decisions, right, and take action. And if it's not doing that, it's not doing its job. So our platform facilitates that process. We don't just ingest the intelligence as we're discussing. We actually help the customers take action with it. And that comes in the shape and form of, you mentioned, the playbooks. And really, we just look at that as automation to take the intelligence to action wherever it's relevant to the security ecosystem. So either pushing things into the SIEM or maybe actually checking some reputation before you go and take action on it, like pushing something to a firewall, but you want to have make sure that you've got strong confidence for that. We can go and do automated checks and then put human eyes on it before that action's taken, but we facilitate automating that process. As a matter of fact, you know, that's one of the key things that we look at. Some of our customers have said that they've gone from, you know, one of the traditional problems in cybersecurity is too many alerts, too many things coming in. Threat Intelligence Connect is a good filter for that. Supplying enough confidence that you know, like, oh, this is actually bad, or this is the action I should take next. One of our customers had 200 SIM alerts coming in per month or 50 million per week. And we took that from that like large funnel, and we're able to help them go from hundreds of incidents and investigations down to just being able to focus on 3 to 4 investigations per week.
Now, what's amazing is you also have some risk, kind of risk management technology, risk quantification. I've been watching the FAIR Institute for years, and I've talked to a lot of CISOs who say, this is challenging. We need more automation. We don't know, the math. How do you do the math? You take a lot of that stress away from them and figure this out for them. How do you do it? And tell us a little bit about the risk quantifier.
Yeah, so Risk Quantifier is pretty amazing technology, and we're pretty excited about it. So we start, as the name suggests, right? Like, we take a data-driven approach to risk. We hoover in public and private loss data across in the States, but also across the world, to look at what a breach typically looks like of each type against what sorts of industry verticals and various geographies, and much finer detail as well in that. And then we allow the customer to put in as much or as little of their own data into Risk Quantifier as they have. So they can just give us crown jewel information, or we can support integrations with their vulnerability management system, their GRC, if they have it, like a risk register, to have an understanding of where the risk is flowing through their assets, specific to them, and then match that with our machine learning output from all the public and private loss data that we have, to give a very defensible monetary amount of risk per breach type, and also the probability of each type of attack. And that allows for decisions at the CISO level. Increasingly, it allows for decisions down at the SecOps leader level as well, as we're beginning to apply that same data in terms of the MITRE ATT&CK framework.
Andy, that's brilliant. So I'm curious, and this might be a crazy situation, but if you can pull it off, I think it's amazing. Let's say I'm the CISO and I have to go in front of my board and I'm trying to explain why I need to upgrade. Let's say this is a bad example, but I want to upgrade my Active Directory server and we shouldn't be running SMB1. Can I do a what if scenario and say, see, this is why WannaCry could take over our whole organization as an example?
Yeah, absolutely. You can. Yeah. So the platform supports what if scenarios for if you have a given threat, blow up, like a given vulnerability such as an exploit such as WannaCry, and you can model multiple different, we'll call them like nightmare scenarios of what if, our servers went down due to a DDoS attack. Some very low probability thing, to if we understand our threat space and know that we're very likely to be targeted by a Volt Typhoon or some other threat actor, we can model multiple scenarios there based on their capabilities and our exposure to that, and what sort of loss we may expect to sustain from them.
And if this is an amazing feature, by the way, the what if scenario, and what if we have to cut budgets and tweak our security posture and, get rid of a few security tools and consolidate, and maybe we found one innovative tool that does 2 or 3 things okay, but not amazingly well, but it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Will that show us a risk quantification score that got worse, or maybe it's
Sure. Yeah, that's one of the features that the CISOs love us for is being able to in a way defend budget or just allow the business to sign off on the risk, right? So if we have to cut budget and we need to go from a level three to a level two in our network monitoring in this control framework, so be it. Let's do that. But I need you, CEO and board, to sign off on this additional $20 million of risk per year if we're breached by ransomware.
that's really wonderful. You've got great features. This is a robust technology, great solution. How is it deployed? Is it on-prem? Is it in the cloud? And how long does it take to get rolling?
Yeah, great question. So for TIOps or the TIP, we offer both on-prem and SaaS or hosted, and actually the same with RQ. The majority of our customers, increasing majority, are SaaS, but we certainly have customers in the government and overseas that still prefer on-prem, and we fully support that. For SaaS, you turn it on. RQ is famously fast. As that typically takes the slowest factor there is just having the customer put in and build the connectors in, which we help them with. Sometimes there's internal delays or whatnot, so we estimate like 2 to 3 weeks to get everything up and running there. The TIP is typically similar, where we have the key integration set up within the first 2 to 3 weeks, the user's trained and off and running, and then we continue to support them to mature their CTI program around Threat Connect with post-sales support. We call them customer success engineers that work with the customer to implement new use cases as they identify them and as they're ready throughout our relationship with them. On-prem is a similar time frame. We offer that as software, and actually we just, with our latest release, have container support. So the on-prem installation is quick and seamless. We're pretty excited about that. So it used to be realistically around 2 months, and we've cut that down to the similar time with the SaaS in about 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes a month.
That's fantastic. And you've got a couple really cool tools in your portfolio. You've got the MITRE ATT&CK Framework Visualizer, and you've got kind of a threat graph. Could you tell us a little bit about those cool tools that are built into the platform?
Sure. Yeah. So MITRE ATT&CK, it's similar if you're familiar with, if you go on MITRE's website, the Navigator supports similar functionality. I think, where you can overlay a given threat actor or a malware family or a campaign and see what tactics and techniques any of those are known to use. You can create multiple overlays on it. What's unique about using that in Threat Connect is, first, you can use that for your own private data, so you can keep it within, within your instance of Threat Connect. It doesn't need to go over the internet anywhere you don't want it to go. Second, you can import, native integrations with breach attack simulation and other tools to see where your gaps are, as well as look at where your detection coverage is for given techniques based on Yara signatures, SIEM-based signatures, depending on the flavor of SIEM that you're using, to see what your detection posture is against a given threat inside of Threat Connect. And then look at what your detection coverage is with that. In the near future, as I mentioned before, we'll have the ability to actually overlay risk inside of Threat Connect and RQ from the quantified risk that we have from RQ as well.
Man, that is fantastic.
The threat graph, it's often said like threat intelligence is really a graph, right? Like, so that's a way to facilitate security analysts and cyber threat intelligence analysts to carry out an investigation looking at the links and relationships between indicators of compromise, maybe a file hash or something, or a domain name. And a threat actor group or multiple threat actor groups and what the relationships are there. It's often said a picture is worth a thousand words, so we just allow them to build out an investigation to understand all of the threat infrastructure and malware capabilities and tactics and techniques and procedures that might be relevant to a given threat, and or maybe potential incidents, you know, to link different incidents together to see what might be a campaign or what might be a common threat actor.
Wonderful. Andy, how is it sold? Is it channel? Is it direct? How can our viewers and listeners get a hold of Threat Connect?
Yep. We do both channel and direct. With the TI Ops platform, it's mostly direct. We certainly work with channel quite a bit too. And then with RQ, we sell it direct, but we also have several OEM partnerships that we're building it into the back end of many GRC platforms and other risk-related platforms as well.
Andy, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
You know, I really appreciate the time here. I think, you know, something that would be really interesting to talk about that we're really excited about is how we're seeing generative AI kind of enable faster decisions with threat intelligence. There's been a lot of concern because of the hallucinations around the popular models that are out there today. But what we're seeing is there's increasing ability to control for hallucinations through a variety of means that allow users of threat intelligence to synthesize data in a way that's reliable by calling out the sources that are used in the intelligence itself to then inform and create reports that used to take a week to create can now take moments to create, a few minutes to triage and fact check before then sending out and disseminating it for decisions by leadership. So we are seeing that as sort of a game-changing technology within the space, not just for report creation, but just overall intel synthesis and helping security analysts, CTI analysts, incident responders understand a threat faster than they could do before, having to put together multiple reports all at once and spend hours researching. So we're seeing that as, you know, as we iterate on our releases this year, something that is going to change the landscape for how threat intelligence is used and how useful it can be.
That is game changing. And, you know, for AI, a lot of people don't know what AI hallucination is. It's where if the AI doesn't have the data and it doesn't have an answer, it makes one up for you because
that's
it doesn't,
right.
Doesn't want to fail.
Yeah, that's a dangerous situation, especially for intelligence, right?
Exactly.
So it's pretty important to control for that. And the way that we're doing that is, and this is, I think, common to a lot of the maturation of AI in this, in not just security space, but across the board, is leveraging first, source data that is reliable within the threat intelligence platform itself, making sure that it's private, that, you know, that's not leaking out to the LLM. It's, you know, in a way that it can be reused for training and then give it to someone who shouldn't have that intelligence. But then also making sure that through proper retrieval augmented generation and prompt engineering, that we're able to give the most reliable result and also give links back to the original sources so they can quickly be fact-checked. And we really just see, like, as fast as this space is moving, the game kind of shifts every 3 months with what Art of the Possible is. So it's moving so fast. And the reliability of the responses has gone up, you know, not just in the last year, but in the last several months.
That's awesome. Andy Pendergast, you are the EVP of product for Threat Connect, on the tip of the spear, speaking of tip, on AI-powered threat intelligence operations and cyber risk quantification. Folks, if you want to get one step ahead of the next threat, if you want to prove due care and due diligence for compliance, get your cyber insurance policy pricing down, know your risk quantification score, have more threat intelligence, go to threatconnect.com.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.